Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning and happy Reformation Day. You know, it's one of those great, you know, we don't often have Reformation Day on a Sunday. Usually it's somewhere around there and we usually celebrate Reformation Sunday, but today is it. Yes, the rest of the world thinks of this as Halloween, but we know the truth. Growing up in the junior high I went to, we never had Halloween parties. We had Reformation Day parties and got to watch the black and white vintage 1950s Martin Luther movie to help us celebrate. Yay. But we are here today in worship, remembering and celebrating the work of people like Martin Luther and Philip Melanchthon and Johannes Bugenhagen. We're celebrating the discovery once again of God's goodness and love in Jesus Christ. And so I'm glad that you are here. Someone may have needed you to be here today, so I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad you're with us if you're with us online as we gather to celebrate in our worship. We have Sunday school bags in the back yet again. So if there are children here, if you've got children who are going to be visiting your house today, and I'm not talking about the little ones in costume knocking on the door because we don't have that many Sunday school bags. But if there are children, know that you can take one of those Sunday school bags so that they can see through crafts and stories the love that God has for them. Also know that we have Sunday school for both children and adults here in between services today. We will also meet and a congregational meeting on November 14th. Yay! It really, well, there we are. That's it. Let's get excited about it. There we are. But it's a wonderful way for us to be together and to make decisions helping us to move our ministry forward. We will have a budget for next year. We will have elections for leadership. We'll have the first vote on a new constitution as well as a vote on the monitor proposal. And I hope that you are planning to be with us that morning, November 14th. There is only one worship service on Sunday, November 14th. It's at 9:30, thereby making everybody just a little bit frustrated. For you, you have to come an hour later. For the other folks, they have to come an hour earlier. But it's a way for us to try to get that magic 100 number that we need. So please plan to join us in worship. Plan to join us for the meeting. It will be a day of praise and thanksgiving. But we've gathered this morning to be in worship with one another, to add our voices to those across time and space, giving thanks and praise to God. And so let us then begin our worship. Will you please rise? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our gathering song is Shout to the Lord, and we sing together. And on this Reformation Day, I invite you to join with me in our confession of our Reformation faith. I believe that God created me. He has given me and still preserves. He provides me with food and clothing. God also protects me in time of danger. All this he does out of fatherly and divine goodness and mercy. Therefore, I surely ought to thank and praise him. Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit renews the church in every age. Pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your word. Protect and comfort them in times of trial. Defend them against all enemies of the gospel. And bestow on the church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson is from Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning with verse 31. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson is from Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed, and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by His grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by His blood, effective through faith. He did this to show His righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that He Himself is righteous, and that He justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works, prescribed by the law, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free? Jesus answered them, Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. The gospel of our Lord. And now may Jesus Christ, our mighty fortress, stand by you now and always. Amen. How much do we really have to do? We all wonder this at some time. How much? I mean, we've talked here in this place about minimum requirements before and about how much law following is enough, and yet the question still lingers in our lives. It's a question that has haunted all humanity from Adam and Eve until now. Have I done enough? Did I miss something simple? Would I look better if I did more? Or the all-important, would I at least look better than that one over there who really hasn't done much of anything at all? And all of this worry and all of this concern and all of these questions, it all begins with sin. From the garden until now, we humans have been slaves to sin. We are imprisoned in our self-centeredness and our delusions of greatness or our feelings of mediocrity and inferiority. We humans have broken our relationship with God. We either want His place or we want to put something else where He belongs. This rebellion leads us to treat one another as less than, or as obstacles to be overcome, or as something to be exploited for my benefit. That is our life in sin. We watch out for ourselves alone, and we don't care who we kind of have to push out of the way in order to get what it is that we want. So the question lingers, how much do we have to do to make up for all of that sinfulness? Is there a monetary figure? Is there a big enough animal that could be sacrificed? Do I have to donate money or time? Do I have to become a Sunday school teacher or a little league coach in order to make up for some of that sin back there? What does it take? And can I please find out what the minimum requirement might be? You see, the church in Martin Luther's day had a system to deal with all of these questions. And while there may not have been one number for everyone, whether cash or actions, they were always willing to help you discover just how much you had to do. See, this is where Luther began to have problems with his church. This was really some of the groundwork for the Reformation. Because the system that the church used in Luther's day was the system of penance. You see, if you wanted to go to Mass on Sunday morning, you had to go to confession. And if you went to confession, you would confess your sinfulness and receive absolution. But the absolution was always dependent on your completing the penance. Now, typically, penance was prayer, a rosary or two. So many Hail Marys, so many Our Fathers, and that would usually suffice. If your sin was greater, then maybe paying for a special mass to be said, or a series of masses would be required, or a pilgrimage to a holy site so that you might view relics or spend time in retreat. If the sin was even greater than that, or maybe your concern was for an already deceased relative, then more masses could be purchased, more money could be spent, you could buy indulgences, and there were other kinds of possibilities. You see, the church that Martin Luther grew up in was watching out for the people, and they were watching out for their power, the churches. They wanted people to be well-behaved, but more, they wanted people following the direction of the church. And using this system of penance had worked well for centuries. If there were objections to it, those objections were dealt with, usually with extreme prejudice. Having people turn to the church to discover how they must behave was the goal. And Luther saw that system as denying the power of the gospel and denying the lordship of Jesus. You see, for generations, God's people have tried to use various laws and rules and commandments and ordinances and ways to repair our relationship with God. We have used the sacrifice of animals. We have used following hundreds of rules. We've used confession and mass and indulgences and more because we know that we are sinful. We know that our relationship with God is broken, but none of these things that we have ever used work. In Scripture today, we hear that it is God who repairs our relationship, not temporarily, but forever. Jeremiah today speaks of a new covenant, an eternal covenant to bring us back to God. This new covenant is nothing like the former covenant, the Sinai covenant. We usually refer to it as the Ten Commandments, and our Jewish sisters and brothers refer to that as mitzvot. God gave that covenant to help us to see how we can behave as we love God and love neighbor. And we turned that into a maze of regulations and used it to judge other people as inferior and left them out. This new covenant with that Jeremiah proclaims will have God's law written on our hearts. And that law is the law of love, of care and concern for family and neighbor that shows God how much we also love God. Our movement to love within this covenant will actually be in our breathing and our living, in our waking and walking and working. And this new covenant is possible for us. It is possible for the world because God will forgive our iniquity and remember our sin no more. This is the source of that new covenant, our freedom from sin. In today's gospel, Jesus is speaking to his disciples as well as to the Jews who had believed in him. And he wants all of them in his audience, he wants all of us to hear and to know and to understand the basis of this new covenant that he is bringing. Jeremiah promised it, and he promised that it was going to come. Jesus is the arrival of that new covenant. It's an arrival of a new relationship. And this relationship is not based on genetics or genealogy. As so many people had believed, we are children of Abraham. It doesn't matter who your relatives are because we are all truly descendants of sinful humanity. It is our sin that marks our relationship with God, and Jesus promises that the truth will make us free. What truth? The truth of God's unconditional love for all of us. The truth of God's efforts beginning with Abraham and continuing to this very day to bring us back to him, to change our hearts, to inspire us to return to the Lord our God. This is the truth that frees us. Now, it doesn't free us to do whatever it is that we want. It frees us from the guilt of our sinfulness. It frees us from the impending doom that we have earned in our sin. It frees us from continuing in that broken relationship, trying to repair what we can never repair. But this truth also frees us for the sake of our neighbor. We are saved in Jesus, and so we are free to try to share that love with one another, with neighbors and friends, with strangers and even enemies. Loving as God has loved us, we forgive one another. We reach out a helping hand to the lost, to the least, to the lame and the ill, to the addicted and the helpless. We are free to do that every day, knowing that God is beside us, that God has forgiven our previous failures, and that God guides us to ways to share that love all the time. Paul reminds us in Romans today that none of us will ever be justified. That is, none of us will ever be good enough to earn God's love because of something we did. The righteousness of God, the new covenant written in our hearts, comes by grace through the faith of Jesus Christ and through our faith in Jesus Christ. We have all sinned. We know it, we feel it, we struggle with it, and we fall short of God's glory. We fall short of the relationship that God wants to have with us. But it is the gracious gift of God in Jesus that gives us hope, that fuels our living, that guides our actions and transforms the world. This is what Luther was pointing to when he wrote the 95 Theses, asking questions about that system of penance. This is what Luther was discovering as he lectured on Scripture and discovered the truth of the gospel that set him and all of us free. The truth of God's grace for all of us. The truth of living our lives in faith, not to earn anything, but rather to share the abundant and extravagant love of God with everyone that we can. This is the truth that stood behind the Reformation. This is the truth that rings through our lives all the time. You are loved. You are loved by God. You are loved by God in Jesus Christ, and it is His life, death, and resurrection that stand as proof for us and as inspiration. We receive God's grace at font and at table. And we receive God's grace every day through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We are, all of us, called to follow Jesus, to make God's vision for all creation into our daily mission. We are given the amazing opportunity and gift to live in a world where the love of Christ truly reigns, transforming this world into God's kingdom. And that is a lot to celebrate this Reformation Day. Amen. Please rise as we continue our celebration of Reformation Day by joining together again in our confession of our Reformation faith. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, Son of the Father from eternity, and true man born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. At great cost, He has saved and redeemed me, a lost and condemned person. He has freed me from sin, death, and the power of the devil, not with silver or gold, but with His holy and precious blood and His innocent suffering and death. All this He has done that I may be His own, live under Him in His kingdom, and serve Him in everlasting righteousness and blessedness, just as He has risen from the dead and lives and rules eternally. This is most certainly. Set free from sin and death and nourished by the word of truth, we join in prayer for all of God's creation. We pray for all who long for a word of truth and for the radical grace that flows from the cross. Inspire congregations to freely and boldly proclaim your love for all people with persistence and hope. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for your creation, for mountains, rivers, streams, cities, homesteads, and neighborhoods. Write into our hearts a new love and care for creation. Give us the will to curb wasteful habits and to hold accountable those who neglect the vulnerable. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for all who aspire to public office and for all who will vote on Tuesday at local polling places. Pour wisdom and understanding upon all who govern so that communities of justice and peace may thrive. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for all who long for healing in mind, body, or spirit. Strengthen hospitals, clinics, counseling centers, nursing homes, and recovery centers to be holy spaces of renewal, that all might live the abundant life that you intend. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for all who seek to grow in faith and love of you. Guide teaching and learning in confirmations, small groups, Sunday school, youth groups, schools, seminaries, and universities. Lord, in your mercy, we give thanks for all the saints and reformers who have gone before us, who dwell in your holy habitation. Give us courage through their example to challenge unjust systems and work toward life-giving reformation. Lord, in your mercy, confident that you hear us, O God, we boldly place our prayers into your hands through Jesus Christ, our truth and life. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I hope your week is a blessed one as we go into the world with hope.
To make God's decision our decision.
That's what we do.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.